This is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. We are glad that we have this privilege to come together to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. I had thought about taking a picture right here, but thought better of it and going to send it to the youth who are on retreat. 27 are on their way. We'll be coming back today from their retreat. Just tell them that we missed them because their spot is so vacant. But it is good to have Greg Burris, who is the pastor of Rocky River Baptist, filling that spot for our youth. Thank you, Greg. And Greg is a dear friend of mine and on vacation this week and worshiping with us today. And we're delighted that he is a part of us today. We have a program change, and I'd like for Leonard to share that with you before we continue our announcements.
Yes, I'd like for you to change the first hymn to page 204. Which is scheduled, but it's my fault. I changed the specials and didn't change the related hymns. The first hymn will be 204. Second hymn will be 333. I know you had your thumbs in there anxiously waiting. So make those notes if you can, and I appreciate them doing that on the board here as well.
Let me share with you that I believe that we do. I see them. Our nominating reports are out. Please pick those up. We will vote on that new slate of officers and leaders in our next church year on August the 10th at our regular scheduled business meeting. Appreciate the nominating committee and all the work that they do to get everything ready. And as always, we would invite you and encourage you to read the announcements that are in the bulletin. We place this information out so we can all be involved and hope you will take full advantage of that. Any announcements not in the bulletin that we need to mention today? Hearing, seeing none, as we have now gathered to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Let's begin with a moment of prayer, and after that, a time when our instruments will play and we will reflect as we prepare to worship our living God. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we are here in this place today excited about what you will be saying. We are grateful for the Bible study that we have shared. And now as we come to this moment of worship, as we will sing praises, not to our neighbor, O God, but to you. As we will offer prayers, not for others to hear, but for your ears, O God. As we will express how much we love you and how much we depend upon you and how grateful we are for your faithfulness. Oh Lord, would you speak to us? Would you receive our worship as a fragrant offering of our love? And may it satisfy your heart as you satisfy our life. In Christ's name we pray.
This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. God is God, a holy God, and He searches for true worshipers. Elohim, the holy God, let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Come before His presence with praise. The Lord is God, a holy God. Let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. Enter His gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Come before His presence with praise. The Lord is God, a holy God. Let us worship Him in spirit and in truth. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. This is the day the Lord has made. 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 I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad.
Let us now rejoice in singing, page 204, Great Redeemer, Lord and Master, Light of all eternal days. Let the saints of every nation sing thy just and endless praise. Let's all stand.
Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day, and we thank you for today. Father, we ask that you might open our minds and open our hearts and allow us to hear and receive the full message that you're sending today, Father. We ask that you bless these offerings and these tithes to further thy kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Morning. Okay, have a seat. Okay, boys and girls, Pastor Matt is away today with the youth, so I get to be with you today. Our question today, we always have a question, is a what-if question. Okay? What if you found a giant pot of gold? What is the first thing that you would buy with that gold? What would you buy? What? Some what? Okay, you'd ask some friends to go somewhere with you. That's great. What else would you buy? What would you buy? Right, Grandpa and Mom and Dad and Grandma. That's great. And Papa. Okay. Anybody else? Well, a long time ago, when people had something valuable, they would usually bury it because they didn't have banks to put money in, stuff like that. But there was always a chance that they would forget where they put it. So they would have a map, something like this. And they would mark the spot where they put that treasure because they wouldn't want to forget. You see that X on there? Okay, see the X? Have you ever dreamed of... You see the X, okay? That's the treasure. That's where the treasure's at. Have you ever dreamed... Okay. All right, y'all are so smart. Have you ever thought... Dreamed. Okay. All right, listen. I'm going to tell you something. Have you ever dreamed of finding an old map and then following it? Maybe a pirate had buried. Have you ever dreamed about that and following the treasure and finding that X? Well, I want to tell you about a treasure that is so much more valuable. And I'm even going to tell you how to find it. Jesus told us something about buried treasure And I'm going to read the scripture about that. This is taken from Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. Listen for the treasure. And Jesus is talking here, and he says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which is a man found and then covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys the field." Okay? If you wanted to find a treasure that Jesus is talking about in our scripture, you could use the Bible for your map. Things in the Bible sometimes have lots of information, and sometimes it's very hard to understand. But you know what? We have something that could mark the spot. If we turn this cross sideways, it looks like a what? X. That's exactly right. And that would mark the spot for us. This would tell us how to find the treasure if we follow the cross. Jesus died on the cross so that you and I could enter heaven, be in the kingdom of heaven. When we look to this cross and follow Jesus and put our trust in him, the treasure will be ours. But you know what? The treasure that Jesus is talking about is following him faithfully so that he can show us how to live. To enter the kingdom of heaven is the greatest, greatest treasure that you could ever want. It is so much more precious than silver or gold or jewels or any kind of toy that you could ever want. Okay? Let's pray about that. Dear Lord, we thank you for letting us be here today. We thank you for dying on the cross to give us that treasure that we have in heaven. In thy name we pray. Amen. Okay, you may go back. Thank you for listening. Thank you for participating.
Unstoppable.
Yes, he's unstoppable.
He is a God.
We are indeed safe within the arms of our Lord. Page 333, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? I have blessed peace within my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. Let's all stand.
May be seated. Let me invite you to open your bulletin to our prayer concerns, and I've got a couple of names I'd like to add, and certainly on behalf of my family, I would like to express our appreciation to you for the many acts of love and kindness that you showered us with in the passing of my mom. We appreciate it so tremendously much. You see, first there, Jimmy Bridges. Jimmy had shoulder replacement surgery this past Friday. I tried to call this morning and wasn't able to get up with anybody. When I left Friday, the plans were he'd be coming home today. But we want to keep Jimmy in our prayers in a very special way. And then also I'd like to add to our prayer list Lena Dawkins' daughter, Joy Maddox, who had open heart surgery, and they had to go back in again yesterday because of some bleeding issues, and I believe she's at Wake Med. Is that where she is? We want to keep Joy Maddox in our prayers. And then we got word today that we've had a death connected to our church family. Casey Bridges, Margie's son, his wife, Faustine Bridges, passed away. Kind of unexpected. She's been sick, but we want to keep this family in our prayers in a very special way. We want to continue to remember the Pat Kelly family in our prayers. You see this list. There are many that we are lifting to the Lord. We want to continue to do that. Would you pray with me? Oh God, our God, the only God, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are our source for everything. You are our hope in every circumstance. You are our strength for life and living. And you are the resurrection and our promise of eternity. It is your name that we lift above every name today. It is your name that we lift these concerns unto. It is to your name that we sing praises. It is to you, O God, that we offer our prayers and ask that you might see our hearts and recognize who we are. And God, today would you fine-tune our faith that we might be more like you. In the holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray and we worship. Amen.
Thank you.
And the people said, thank you, choir. Leonard mentioned that might be his favorite song. It doesn't get much better. In fact, I'm not sure it gets any better than that. Choir, you did well. Thank you for blessing us. I know you've marked on your calendar August the 17th, when we will have an appreciation for a faithful minister of God's Word through music at Flat Springs Baptist Church. I hope that we'll continue to have everybody we can singing. And I have requested, I don't know if it'll happen, that we might have a Harris special with Leonard. Leonard always said the reason he didn't do solos, he says, because then everybody say, well, just let the music minister do it. We don't have to worry about that anymore. So I'm blessed to sit close to Leonard when he sings, and God has blessed him with a beautiful voice. He always molds it into everybody else. I'd love to hear it. Just him and his family. He has such a talented family, and we're looking forward to celebrating that day. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. We're going to read beginning in verse 12, and we're actually going to read verse 15 and kind of stop in a weird place. We're not going to give all the explanation of Judas Iscariot's demise. We're going to skip down then to verse 20. But we're going to read a text with the idea of how do you make choices? How many choices did you already make today? How many of us are making choices about next week? And maybe in a weird way, how many of us are making choices about our faith, our walk with God? I think we can find here a pretty good recipe, if you will, for how a Christian makes choices. You know this moment, we're on the eve of the day of Pentecost. We're right on the edge of the Holy Spirit descending and the world changing. With the indwelling of God's Spirit in this new way that Christ promised. And the disciples are struggling with choices. Just like you and I. And so now they are reminded of the need to replace Judas. How do they do it? How do they come to that decision? Who will be the next apostle? The one to replace Judas. It's an interesting dilemma. It's an important dilemma. Matthias went on to be a tremendous saint and is still revered for his work as also not only was he, but also Barsabbas. Godly men. How do you choose? It's a good question. We're going to begin to read in Acts chapter 1 with verse 12. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand with me as a way of honoring the reading of God's Word. And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room, and they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. And these were, with one accord, were devoting themselves to prayer, together with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brother. In those days, Peter stood up among the brothers. The company of persons was in all about 120. And he said, brothers, the scriptures must be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand, by the mouth of David concerning Judas. And we're going to pause right there and drop down to verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, may his camp, speaking of Judas, be desolate, and let there be no one to dwell in it, and let another take his office. And so of the men who have accompanied us during the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. And they put forward to Joseph, called Barsabbas, who is also called Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, "You, Lord, you know the hearts of all." Maybe we ought to read that verse again. "You, Lord, you know the hearts of all. Show which one of these two you have chosen to take the place in the ministry and the apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place." And they cast lots for them, and the lot fell on Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, may we learn a lesson from your holy word about how we make choices. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And let me go ahead and remind us that our closing hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour," page 450, you can mark that. Who will you marry? And unfortunately, in our day and time, will you stay married? What will your career be? Where will you live? What kind of house will it be? These are important choices, aren't they? In the church, we're forced to make choices too. Do we need a new building? Who will serve as the next member of the diaconate? Who will be the next minister of music at Flat Springs? How do we decide? How do we make choices that we are fairly comfortable saying, this was God's will. This is what God wanted. Well, I'm glad you asked. I think that what we begin to find in these early days of the church, as it's just about, and in chapter 2, it's going to really blossom, because in chapter 2, we're about to head to the day of Pentecost and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and 3,000 souls are about to be added, and the church is going to begin to form itself into the formidable force that it is even today. How do we choose? What if we choose wrong? Anybody here ever made a wrong choice? A wrong decision? We all have, haven't we? How can we be sure? How can we, to the very best of our ability, put ourselves in a place that when we're through, we're saying, "Lord, your will be done. Your will be done in what we do." The first thing I think we find in verse 14, and that is staying in one accord. Now, I almost decided to tell you that the first car mentioned in the Bible was a Honda. Y'all can probably connect those dots, one accord, but I decided I wouldn't do that. Aren't you glad I didn't? What does that mean, one accord? Certainly it's not a Honda. One accord. We understand that, don't we? One accord. Together. Together. Together in spirit. Together in heart. Together in love. Together in thinking. Together in everything. One accord. I would say that before a church can make any choices, it must be together. It is a reality that today many churches struggle. And most often where they struggle is at this place. They're not in one accord. My daddy used to have a saying that he used to love to say. He said, 7 men jumped on the back of the same horse and all rode off in different directions. It's a pretty good metaphor. What are we going to do? How are we going to decide? Well, I think we ought to do this, and I think we ought to do that. And there are in history and in business meetings recorded because someone decided and the church would split because the color of the carpet was the wrong color. or the organ was going to be put on the wrong side of the sanctuary, or the stained glass windows were in the wrong order. I tell you, brothers, and I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. It's easy. It's easy to seek our will, not God's will. And being in one accord is when we come with one desire, with one hope, with one plan, and that is today. This is the day the Lord has made. And I will rejoice not only in the day, but in the Lord. And I've come together, and so many things don't really matter unless we get that one accord out of place. It takes that one accord, that coming together. You see, we just finished that long series of what a disciple is, and we talked about how Bible study and worship, and corporate worship especially, was vitally important. It's not an option, it's a necessity, because we need each other. We need to be together. One accord in our goals to be authentic, growing disciples. One accord in our mission to seek to save the lost and disciple the saved. One accord in our message that God loves us dearly and wonderfully, and for us to realize how much sin can negatively impact our lives. It's valuable to be together when we make choices. It's easy to cut corners, isn't it? Isn't it easy to sometimes cut corners? I wonder if anyone might today honestly say, yes, yes, Lord, sometimes I cut corners in my faith. Sometimes I regulate you not to first place, not even to second, not even to third, not even to fourth. Sometimes God, not all the time, but sometimes God, I don't even think of you at all in my choices. I think of me, my heart, my plan. I'm guilty. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of that. Staying in one accord, it's so valuable. And in a time when it's so easy to cut corners, I love this story. I'd heard a different rendition. In fact, I shared a little different rendition with you a few months ago. I never heard it put this way. A man's daughter was about to be married, and she was going to marry a builder. And it was no secret that the future son-in-law didn't care for the future mother-in-law. Let's just say they did not get along. But the father, trying to be an appeaser and trying to make everything good, he said, I know what I'm going to do. He called his future son-in-law and he said, son, my 30th wedding anniversary is coming, and I'm going to build my house, my wife, a new house. I got that all backwards, didn't I? Glad I fixed it, for y'all did. Anyway, I'm going to build my wife a new house. Here's the floor plan. It's the best one I've seen, and I want you to build it. And I want you to spare no expense. I want you to be, everything needs to be first class, the best of everything. Son-in-law thought, here's my opportunity. Oh, boy, this is my chance. This is going to be win-win for me and lose-lose for them. Because I'm going to charge I'm going to go get all those high prices. And I'm going to give them in the bill, but I'm going to go buy the cheapest stuff I can find. I'm going to cut every corner. I might make this whole house with 2 pounds of nails. It's going to be bad. And I'll let her know who's boss. I'll teach her a lesson about messing with me. And so off he started. And the anniversary and the wedding were just about the same time. And so he built the house, making sure the only place he didn't skimp was on that outward appearance, so it would look good from the road and look good. Oh, it wouldn't last long, but it would look good for a little while. He had finished his work, and he went and handed the keys to his father-in-law and said, here's your present for your wife. And his father-in-law turned around and said, no, son, this is my wedding present to y'all. Here's your house. Here's your house. Do we cut corners? Would we be brave enough for just a moment to honestly look God in the face and say, God, I'm giving you my best? And maybe in our heart, we're not sure we are. being in one accord to make those choices. When we make those choices, when we're all together and we're all working together, and spiritually we're in one accord with our God, then we're doing our very best. We're doing all we can do. If we seek the Lord together, then His will be reflected in our choices, not ours. I love what he also tells us at the end of verse 14. If your text is still open, it says, they devoted themselves to prayer. They devoted themselves to prayer. Is there a difference, I wonder, I just wonder, is there a difference between devoted prayer and casual prayer? I need to ask myself, am I devoted to prayer? Am I one who begins every morning with prayer and finds many times during the day to pause to pray because I understand that prayer is what keeps me connected to God? What I have discovered, we talked about this last week during prayer service, was that prayer changes things, and the biggest thing it changes is the prayer. The biggest thing prayer changes is the one who's praying. To seek the Lord with all our heart and all our minds. Jesus gives us that tremendous example when he pours out his heart in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, let this cup pass from me. But then he is so connected to the Father that he ends his prayer with his heart's desire, but not my will. Your will be done. Are we devoted to prayer? Are we devoted to prayer? God is fixing to bless the world with a church in just a few more verses here. Just a few more days. It's going to break wide open. Pentecost is about to come. And the scriptures want us to understand that it was bathed in prayer. Serious prayer. Heartfelt prayer. Deep prayer. Long prayer. Prayer that wasn't about what could happen, but God, what could we do for you? Prayer. I have found the more we struggle in prayer, the less we struggle in decision making. The more we struggle in prayer, the less we struggle in making those selections, those choices. It becomes apparent to us. It's through our prayer and speaking to God often and deeply that we understand. Sweet hour of prayer that pulls me from the world of care. If we're going to make choices for God, if we're going to be a church that is choosing God's way above our way, if we're going to be a family that's choosing God's way above our way, if we're going to be a person who's choosing God's way, not our way, in serious prayer is part of that prescription of a Christian selection. And then I love what he tells us in verse 16 of our text. Not only is there staying in one accord in serious prayer, but then there's that call to Scripture. To Scripture. Every selection needs to be scripturally based. You see, how many times had Jesus taught the disciples when he would share with them Scripture? Scriptures that he would say, this is why we're doing it. This is what the prophet said. This is what the psalm said. This is what the Torah, the first five books of the Bible said. This is the law. This is why we do what we do. Over and over, Jesus had taught them the Scripture. That's why I put in the bulletin that I'm going to be starting a series next week on David's life and the Psalms of David. Greg and I are kind of cohorts together in that, and we share some of our planning together. And we're going to be looking at David. And I've given you Scriptures because next week we're going to talk about his call when Samuel comes to anoint him, and I've given you five other scriptures of unlikely choices that God makes. I hope you'll read them and prepare in your heart that you will come to worship next Sunday better scripturally prepared to worship and meet God. Bible study, it's so important. To be biblically based is the only place we can make the right choices for God. I'm convinced that communion of the saints is neither accidental nor casual. Barna, in one of his writings, came up with the title of what he called a casual Christian. A casual Christian. It is faith in moderation. It allows them to feel religious without having faith as their priority. It's Christianity that's low risk. It's predictable. It provides faith, but it's not demanding faith. A casual Christian can be all that they esteem. They can be a nice person, a family person, a religious person, a good citizen, a reliable employee, but never really commit themselves fully to Christ. From their perspective, their brand of faith is genuine and realistic and practical. To them, the casual Christian is the best of all worlds. It encourages them to be a better person than those who are irreligious. And yet, it doesn't demand very much. And what's most disturbing in this statistic that Barna came out with, he decided that 66% of the believing population in the United States would fall into the category of a casual Christian. Are we making sure that all we do is biblically based? Are we finding ourselves saying, honey, before I can make that choice, let's see what God's Word says? Are we as a church saying, as we begin to make those choices, that we're beginning all of our work based on what God's Word is? We need to follow God's commands in our choice making. And we can't follow what we don't know. And the more we know, the more we study God's Word, the better able our choices will be. I love verses 24 through 26 as they begin to seek out the will of God. How were they going to decide between these two fellows who would be their next disciple? They sought the will of the Lord. Whose will do we seek? Whose opinion really matters? I love the story from days gone by when there was an umpire by the name of Babe Pinelli who once made a call three on Babe Ruth. He called him out on strikes. Ruth turned and gave that look that, you know, if you watch baseball, sometimes when you get struck out, batters will give. But they were playing in New York. And 40,000 other umpire wannabes began to express their opinion with loud boos and threats toward the umpire. Ruth saw what was going on and he looked and he said, there are 40,000 people here who know that last pitch was a ball, you tomato head. Now that's what it said, he said. Everybody braced for him to be ejected. But instead, Babe Pinelli, the umpire, said, maybe so, Babe, but mine is the only opinion that counts. Whose opinion counts? Well, Gary, we don't want to do that because you know what everybody's doing? Well, we saw this other church and they were. Well, this other family, they were. It's easy. It's easy to find people who will agree with us. But if we're to make Christian selections, the only opinion that matters, the only opinion that needs to be that important place where we decide is God's will. They cast lots to choose. Sometimes I'd like to bring that back, but I understand that theologically, after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit began to indwell in the hearts and the lives of people, and choices were to be made. How? Not by casting lots, but guess how? By being in one accord, by sharing serious prayer time, by being scripturally based, seeking the will of God. That's how you make choices. No longer did you need to cast lots. God had now become personal. He'd become indwelling. He's in us. He's in our choices. The idea was to allow God to lead them. That needs to be my idea. How about yours? I need God to help me make every choice, every decision. And the more I pray, the more I study, the more I fellowship and worship you with you and you with me, the better able I'll be able to decide about who I'll marry, about what job I'll take, about building a building, or who will be the next deacon or deaconess. In every decision, in every selection, are we following God's command? Today, I'm grateful for Flat Springs Baptist Church. Never more have I been blessed by a congregation than I have in the last 3 weeks of my life. And for that, I am tremendously thankful. Your spirit of one accord, your prayers, your love, your fellowship, your kindness, your joy, your sorrow, you being there. Thank you for those choices that you made. Those choices face us today, and they'll face us tomorrow. Making choices God's way, one accord, seeking Him through prayer and Bible study, and praying as Jesus taught us to pray, not my will, thy will be done. That's how we make Christian selections. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? God, there may be someone here today that needs to make a decision about something. They need to make a choice about something. They need to decide about something. Maybe it's their walk with you. Maybe it's an issue of a choice about a life or a lifestyle. Maybe it's about dealing with sin or choosing not to deal with that sin. But here we are. In this moment of decision, we call it the invitation. Inviting you, O God, to speak to us and us to you in choices and making decisions. O Lord, we need you. Help us to make those decisions that would be pleasing unto you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Our hymn is page 450. Page 450, I need thee every hour. This morning, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some choice for Him, we would invite and encourage you to do so as we stand together. I meant to mention during our prayer time that I know that Jones Chapel is having their homecoming today, and I understand that Houston Blair, their pastor, has had a family situation. I think I'm not going to say what I heard, but I'm not sure, and I'm not going to repeat that, but I understand he's out of place, and we should remember his family in our prayers and be remembering our youth. They'll be returning home to us today after this weekend of them focused on God's Word and what God will do for in their lives. Of that we are most excited. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence. be his people in the midst of all his people.
Greg, would you dismiss us with a word?